talking about it today, so you can talk about it tomorrow.
The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. 203-333-9422. I just want to give you some more breaking news as COVID-19 reportedly surges. But let's be careful about these headlines. That's the headline. But, you know, we don't want to get people too alarmed or exaggerate. However, we do have 13 cities where 1,000 or more residents are confirmed infected with COVID-19. And in our area, they include Bridgeport. They include Greenwich. They include Hamden, Meriden, New Haven, Stamford, West Haven, Waterbury, Danbury. So actually, they're mostly in our area. So people are watching very, very closely COVID-19 right now. 203-333-9422. And it's becoming an issue in some local races. And obviously, we just cannot be too complacent about it. But joining us right now for our weekly conversation about race is Wayne Winston at 203-333-9422. And I guess, Wayne, since it is the news of the day about a Zoom bomb, ugly, homophobic, racist thing, let's be clear. In this case, it was against a Republican. The incumbent is Joe Courtney. He's a Democrat. A Republican, Mary Gay, is also an avowed gay woman, happens to just have that same last name. And one person decided to Zoom bomb, which completely freaked out the League of Women Voters and people watching and horrific comments. I mean, what do you make of that one way or another, Wayne Winston? Do you think that that's emblematic of something very serious, or do you think not so much? What do you think?
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning to the listeners. You know, we have we're in a time in this country where so much is hate driven, you know, and it's very, very unfortunate because people who are going to take time out to say, I'm going to bomb this particular debate or this online, they're trying to get a message out that somehow what you're doing, I have a problem with, and people like me have a problem with. It's not even about even the debate, because these same people aren't the ones that would sign in and present a position. You know, it's about being disruptive and humiliating. And because when you're going that route, that's really what you're looking for, the disruption and the shock value and the things that you do. So I think there's a disconnect with people who are like that. And as trying to get information out as best we can, because we can't do rallies, you know, big public meetings and so on.
True.
People who are running for office, it's extremely difficult to get the message out. So somewhere in there, there was somebody that they didn't like, because they always do it for the benefit of one party or a person or another. And I'm not saying that the person that the opponent who the thing was pointed at had anything or knew anything about it. It's, we're just in such a place that I see the vitriol everywhere. You know, the far left hated the, you know, Democratic Party. You know, their liberals are going to turn us into a socialist country. You know, it's like, wow, we're really like that far. And with elections not that far away, you know, it's important that everybody votes. And I want to remind people that it's you have to pick a candidate on really what you feel you want this country to look like, especially a presidential candidate. So that's, I can't give you anything more than that. It's the most selfish decision that you make, and you should make it selfish. You should. If you want a better country that's about bringing people together, think about who that person is. If you didn't want people locked in cages, think about who that person is. If you think Biden is going to raise your taxes, then okay, then think about that. You know, if you wanted to see about the millionaires tax, you got a problem. Think about that. But just don't base it upon, you know, I like how this guy tells people off. That is so shallow when we have a whole country that is just falling apart and dying literally. And it makes me feel bad, because I've had people say that to me. And so someone in the community who has a lot of white friends and Middle Eastern friends, and they love to have these conversations because they're like off the air and just like personal. Man, we're such a shape in this, a time in this country. People are literally afraid, and we should never be in afraid in this country of it looking like a dictatorship.
So, Wayne, let me ask you this. I want to keep it a little bit local, because What many people don't realize, even here in Connecticut, is every 2 years we reelect our entire Senate and House. Senatorial terms in Hartford are the same 2 years that our House seats are. So every two years, we, you know, we have these elections nationwide for Congress. We're also having a chance to relook at what's happening in Hartford. We've had George Logan on of Ansonia. He's a Republican, a black Republican, and he's one of the 20 or so races that the Hartford Current says could be close this year. And my question for you is, and you're a black Democrat based out of Bridgeport in the Stratford area, you know, is there a place right now for black Republicans to garner a healthy share of the black community to their point of view?
There is, and I said there's a chance. I don't think it's going to happen right now because black people don't trust the Republican Party for obvious reasons. Well, let me be what that is. There's no agenda for training programs to engage the black community. You know, the issues that have to do with Black Lives Matter, these things that we know we're being assaulted on, supporting so many of the things that are like grassroots in our communities, they've just shown no interest in that whatsoever. So the Democrats may not have it all, but we at least are within that process when they talk about care for kids in this state, for example, which helps, you know, families get babysitters, you know, so they can go to work. That's huge for poor families right now, or for that matter, working class families. You know, look at the PPE stuff that we're going through and people are paying for. Those are things that are, we are working class people, and the Republicans, and just because he's black, he's still running under the same agenda unless he has some superpower to make things different. A high ranking Republican wanted to hire me a couple of years ago to be a consultant for them and to work with them in the black community and get to the point where maybe we can figure something out. Okay. And I was open to the conversation because I'm always, hey, let me see what you got. Right. And the path that they have still winds up being the empowerment of basically, if you give the wealthy enough money, then they're going to hire the people who are working class. And that's just not how it works. You know, business people's stocks are about saving companies money. They lay them off historically with exceptions, whether it's a Google and, you know, Amazon.
Well, they would argue that when they do that not. I mean, I know people that would argue that they're doing it not to put money in the pockets necessarily of people at the top, but for the overall longevity of the company, that if they don't save money, they can't last, that they'll go out of business.
Oh, I agree. Now, obviously, my background is business management, which I haven't disclosed, but I've run a few companies and so on. And that's where there's a balance, though. That's where I think the American working class person is this huge inflation gap. I mean, we're making less, having to pay for more. You know, this COVID has hurt so many people. And it's like there's a tin ear over there. People may yell at Nancy Pelosi or whoever, but any Republican that wants to step up and say, listen, I get it, can have a platform where they could reach not just black people, but other working class people. That's why it's difficult now. I've been fortunate to work on this side with a lot of the Democrats, you know, Jim Hodgson and a few others, because they are plugging into that. They ask about those things, and then they actually set a platform up to deal with it. That's why black Republicans have a difficult time, because we just haven't seen an agenda. And
okay,
why they're not doing
phones.
Well in Connecticut.
Okay, let's go to Frank from Orange. Frank, you're on the air with Wayne Winston, and I'm Lisa Wexler. Good morning, Frank. Hi.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
There's a couple of points that I really I'm having a problem with that he's saying that country's in turmoil. I don't believe that. I really don't believe that. I think, in general, the country is in very good shape. I think there's a few people that feel it's they want to say it's going crazy, but I don't think it is. And as far as Black Lives Matter, I know it's been said before, but do people really think we didn't feel bad when that guy got his knee on his throat? I mean, honestly, I mean, we all felt bad. there's just not a section of people that felt bad. We all felt bad. Black people didn't feel bad. I mean, they felt bad. White people. I just disagree with a lot of things that he says.
Okay.
And I'll hang up and let you comment.
Sure. Thank you, Frank. Thanks for your comments. So, Wayne, you want to respond?
Sure. Frank, listen, I appreciate you calling in because part of what Black Lives Matter is, it's not about that second in time when it came to George Floyd. That was the tipping point because prior to that, we had Amari Marbury, who was a gentleman that was killed, who had done nothing but except jog through a neighborhood, and he was killed, you know, by a father and son. And they created a whole lie about how he was trying to break into a house, and he was killed. And all the time, they had killed it, and they literally filmed it on their own phones, and it was buried in the city that they were in, the county. And the prosecutors had viewed it. It's a horrible thing. After that, we have the Breonna Taylor situation, which we're a little bit more familiar with now. And prior to that, you've got, you know, Eric Garner, New York, you know, I Can't Breathe. You know, across this country, it's a tipping point that happened. And a lot of people in America came out in the middle of COVID, and white, and faculty more white even than black, came out and said there's something that's wrong, that these men and women are being killed. So the Black Lives Matter doesn't mean your life doesn't matter. It means something's happening disproportionately that was being ignored. And a lot of times it is through the criminal, through the police department. So that's why the focus was there. So everybody that came out, we happy, but we're not done. And people have more to do to correct this problem.
Well, and I also think, and we're going to go to Sandy from Bridgeport coming up right now, but I think the point that Frank is making is, and this is an interesting, you know, this is where surveys are so illuminating. You know, there are people in this country from where they sit and their life experience who believe that this idea of America being in turmoil is a creation of the media. It's a creation of inflated headlines. Yes, it pinpoints some riots and some disturbances here and there, but it's a very big country. We have over 330 million people in it. While there are other people who see these incidents as symptomatic of something that is boiling just under the surface that occasionally erupts, but they feel the turmoil more viscerally. And it's a very interesting, that gap about perception, about whether this country is in fact in turmoil or not, is part of the very important conversation. Let's go to Sandy from Bridgeport. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the show. You're on with
morning,
Wayne
Lisa.
Winston. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Wayne. I just have to comment on the last caller that said he doesn't think this world is in a turmoil or the country isn't. We are in a turmoil. I just resent that. I don't know what news he's watching, but he needs to watch more because we are in a turmoil. And in terms of Black Lives Matter, I want to explain it like I explained it to a coworker. If you live on a street and with all these beautiful houses, one house out of all these beautiful houses are on fire. You want the fire department, of course, to protect every house. But at the moment, the only house on fire is the black house. So Black Lives Matter is an important event for all of us. We're not saying other lives don't matter, like blue lives. All lives do matter. But at the current time, the black house is on fire. So our house right now matters, and it needs to be addressed by the president and everyone else in politics at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you very much. That's Sandy from Bridgeport. 203-333-9422. You know what? Let's do this. We'll take some commercial. We'll come right back. We're chatting with Wayne Winston. We're talking about race. We're 2 weeks away from an election. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
On air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
The topic is race. Wayne Winston is our guest. And let's go to the phones. Justin from Norwalk. Hi, Justin. What's on your mind today? Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Wayne. So I'm going to give my perspective of Black Lives Matter. 2 years ago, my mom died very young at 58. And people told me during her wake that they had lost their parent at, 20 years ago, which I felt for. But at the time, I felt like my life was, destroyed. So when I look at Black Lives Matter, I say, yeah, all lives matter. But at this point in history, Black Lives Matter, you know, it's current. It's happening right now. So they're feeling a lot of pain. Now, my other perspective is when you start talking about allies to Black Lives Matter and white silence is white violence, that really prohibits me from taking part in, you know, in the protests, stuff like that. So I am empathetic to it. I do believe 100% that it, you know, it should take priority right now. But I think there's a division where you're, you know, you're starting to talk about, you know, allies and all that stuff. And we're all human. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Justin. I think you make a really good point, which is to say you can have the silent majority of white people with you or with the movement of caring about what happens to Black lives, but they don't want to be criticized or you know, or castigated if they're not part of the solution, then they're part of the problem. I think that that's what Justin is saying. I think he taps into something that a lot of white people feel, Wayne. Can we take one more phone call because we're up against it? Let's go to one more call.
Sure.
Let's go to Sylvia from Newtown. Hi, Sylvia. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I was just calling in regards to one of your last callers. You know, all lives matter. You know, if we would only start thinking that way instead of just Black Lives Matter, Yellow Lives Matter, it doesn't matter. We're all together in this. We should all matter. Thank you. I'm, you know, getting tired of listening to this all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you for your call. So, you know, it's very interesting. We've had four callers on today, and two of them feel very strongly that Black Lives Matter is a little bit insulting or misses the point or makes them feel like they don't care about everybody. But then the other two say, but wait a minute, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, look, we've got a problem right now. We can't ignore it. We've got to focus on this and get this right before we can move on. So, Wayne Winston, I'll give you the last word. You got just about a minute before we're going to hear the bell ring. Go ahead.
You know, I appreciate all the callers. When Dr. King was assassinated, not everyone said, oh, my God. Some said he got exactly what he deserved because not everyone is on board with dealing with institutionalized racism, which is what they have then and what we have now. We have people who are being killed by the police and having issues within our communities, whether it's in housing. There's a race issue in America. There always has been, you know, which is why we've had all these different amendments and everything that had to happen. Black people, property, and so on. There's still some of that residual racism that's there that has resulted in Black people dying. So for the gentleman who called in and said, yes, you know, we have a problem, we do. But we can't do anything about the people who try to twist things to their own advantage. If you're on the right side and you want to be an activist and advocate, you got to be there and be out and stand there. We only talk about Black Lives Matters because it is about Black people dying because racism is subjective. If you're not Black, you can just sit home and have an opinion because it doesn't affect you. We don't have
Thank
a choice
you, Wayne.
As a
Thank
community.
Thank you, Wayne. It's noon. Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back tomorrow.